So we came here, and then my brothers, like, they, of course, they didn't have a lot of money, and my dad, of course, had to leave everything behind. So it must have been so difficult for both him and my mom, you know, like almost like it was literally going from riches to rags, like, honestly. And then, you know, I said two of my sisters were married, so one was living in Kenya and the other one actually lived here as well, and she was married, and she lived in Leicester. So to this day, she's like a mum to me. Her name's Rama, but we call her Rama Bin. And so the three sisters, the younger ones, we went to live with them. And she herself had only been there for a few years in Leicester, and her and her husband were also trying to make ends meet. And this I tell her all the time, because I'm so grateful to her. Like, of course, we came here in October and it was so cold. So I was going back, coming off the plane, the first thing that hit me was the cold. So that excitement of wearing that cardigan was out the window because it was far too cold. You know, that cardigan wasn't protective. Of course, we didn't have coats or anything. You know, it was freezing. And in those days, like 50 years ago, the weather was so, so cold, really, really cold. That hit me, and everything was different. It was different. Of course, all of a sudden you go from kind of in Africa, from black people to Caucasians, you know, to white people, and it's not what you're used to, you know, it's not what you're used to at all, and that's not me being prejudiced or racist. It's just my recollections of a 9-year-old, you know, go from that to this. Yeah, then we went to live in Leicester for 3 months, and my sister, bless her and her husband, I'll never, you know, I'll always be grateful to them. They bought us coats, and you know, I know that they were also barely making ends meet. They bought us these coats, like it was pink coats. I still remember to this day what they were. They bought us night dresses, and again, if I could draw properly, I could draw those night dresses for you, and they were just amazing. For me, I missed my parents a
Of
lot.
course.
So it's almost like going back when we heard the news that day when I was in school in Uganda, being excited to, although it was still living with my sister, but you know, they weren't my parents, and where my parents were always protective over us. And I'm the, you know, as I mentioned before, I'm the youngest, so I always kind of, I was very close to both my parents. not that my other siblings weren't, but being the youngest, you kind of have. I know, I just had such a bond with both of them. So I really missed them, like absolutely missed them like crazy. But my sister and my brother-in-law were amazing, absolutely amazing. You know, they looked after us well. You know, everything that my parents could have done, they did. So eventually then they rented a house in New Malden. And that's when I then went to school. I kind of adapted to the life in the UK quite quickly. I was probably really one of the very lucky ones because when I hear stories of other people, they did have a lot of racism and abuse and racial abuse chucked at them. I fortunately didn't. And when I think back now, I think, oh my God, that was really lucky. Really, really lucky. I liked my school dinners, absolutely loved my lunches. You know, I still like really look forward to it. And you know, as a Hindu, we're not supposed to eat beef. I kind of didn't stick to that. I ate whatever, you know, was given to me at school, and I carried on eating it. But what did hit me was the cold. It was bitterly cold. And as time went on, of course, the coats that my sister and my brother-in-law had bought for us, I'd outgrown it. And then what I do remember is like going from stability in Uganda, living in this one house for, you know, for 9 years. We went from moving, so we lived in New Malden, I don't know for how long, then we couldn't afford the rent. So we then moved to Luton.
Mm.
Yeah, to Luton, to this house in Wetherby Road. God, Anushka, that house was awful. Oh. It was awful.
Did you change school as well then?
Again, I had to change school. So it was a lot of upheaval. A lot of, you know, like just going from that, from stability to just being uprooted, like, you know, like a nomad almost. Yeah. And we stayed in that house, I don't know for how long. So basically there was the three sisters, like I said, and then the elder sister. And then one of my brothers also came to live with us. We were in a three... like it was almost like 2.5 bedrooms. Mm-hmm. There was damp in the walls, mould. Our landlord was not nice at all. The bathroom was awful. Yeah. And having gone from a massive house and we had, like I said, it was on acres of, you know, land. Mm-hmm. Having gone to that, it was really awful. Mm. And then again, my dad, you know, couldn't afford to buy us coats until our grant came through. And I could see, like, the damage it was doing to both of them.
Yeah, of course.
And then my mum also started to work.
Right.
And my dad was devastated. Oh. He was... he almost felt like he'd failed her. And by this time, of course, I was a bit older, so I could understand a lot more and I could understand the conversations. And, you know, my mum used to say to him, you know, it's okay. Of course, they're a couple. You know, they do things together. But she was, like, she worked. She ran the house. She brought us kids up. She cooked. How she did that, I have no idea. I have no idea whatsoever.
Where did she go to work?
So what she did is... I don't know if you remember, but when we first came, they used to do, like, furry hats. Like, they used to have, like, a plastic string with bobbles on the end.
Yeah,
it used to be, like, furry hats.
Yeah.
So they used to be delivered home, but, of course, it was faux fur.
Yeah.
So she used to have to sew the bobbles on the end.
Oh, wow.
Her fingers used to bleed.
Oh.
And that's, I think, when my dad, like, thought, you know, he failed her. But my mum being, gosh, the amazing woman that she was, she just carried on. You know, she never complained. She never complained that she had to do that. And I know she'd, where the fur was just faux, so... a lot of it would also come off.
Okay.
So, you know, it gave her some nasal issues and that. But again, she never complained. Her fingers were sore. And yeah, she just carried on. And there was times when sometimes my dad really tried. But, you know, I'd come home for lunch and sometimes they would be home.
Yeah.
So I'd kind of go back to school and they, you know, I wouldn't have had lunch maybe. And you'd be hungry. But it was amazing that I think the kind of upbringing that they gave us, it was, you were always, I'll always be indebted to them, always, you know. They did what they could for us, and when they couldn't, I knew never to moan, never to complain, because, you know, mum and dad always did the best. So, yeah, it was cold, and sometimes, we'd kind of, you know, I'd go back to school, I'd be hungry, and then we couldn't afford, when we moved to Luton, we couldn't afford for me to have the school lunches until the grant came through.
Yeah.
And I'd go back to school hungry, could smell the school lunches, and you think, oh my God, I want to eat that food. But yeah, eventually the grant came through, and then could buy my, you know, went and bought myself a coat and some, like, proper shoes and things like that. And we're in Africa, where we'd be having new clothes and toys and, you know, things like that. I went from that to not having really anything. But again, it was, you know, fine. All I remember is my sister, Sarojben, she worked. And she once bought me this teddy. I'd gone shopping with her somewhere, and she bought me this teddy, and she'd said... you know, this is for you. And when she brought it home, I was so excited. And it wasn't until years later that I learned how she'd bought that for me. So we obviously lived far away from the town, and she used to work in Sainsbury's. she used to walk it and saved her bus fares.
Yeah.
And she bought me this teddy.
Bless her.
Oh, that was just like amazing. You know, it just like to have a toy.
Yeah.
It felt really amazing. So then we moved from Luton to another house in Luton. Mm-hmm. And and then again things got really difficult. Mm. And then we moved to Slough.
Oh, wow.
Then from Slough we moved to Langley.
Okay.
And then from Langley we moved to Hounslow. We had lots of family issues, and hence that's why we couldn't kind of stay in one place. Then we...
So was that all that in the period of like your schooling then?
Yes. Schooling kind of finished in Luton.
Okay.
And then by the time we moved to Slough, I was working.
Okay.
So I worked somewhere for a couple of years. Mm. And then we had to move. Mm. We moved to... somewhere in Hounslow on Witten Road, and it was from there that I got engaged and then got married. And then even after that my parents moved again to somewhere in Hounslow. They were given like a ground floor flat, and sadly they both passed away from that flat, but that was like their final place. And actually my mum, being my mum, she made it an absolute lovely place in that. So so moving around, I became very resilient. You know, you kind of get used to making friends and then leaving and then making friends again and then leaving. But in all that, I think what helped me was my parents. I mean, I couldn't praise them enough. I really couldn't. Like, even, you know, my mum did have some gold, and I know that, you know, in those days, some, you know, they used to sell it. And I remember when in one of that in Langley, when we moved to Langley, my sister got married. So then I was the last kind of girl at home, and my parents knew that I'd be quite lonely. Mm. I remember my mum sold her gold, and they bought me a TV.
Oh.
I remember I'd just come home and there was a TV then. They were so excited, in Ishka. They were so excited to have bought me that. And, you know, it was things like that, that whatever they, not through fault of their own, you know, because of the expulsion and things, you know, life turned out the way that it did, unfortunately. Yeah. But they always made sure that we were as happy. You know, they sacrificed so much. Mm. And for my dad, it was, that whole expulsion thing was awful, but he never complained about leaving our house, you know, locking it up, the business. All he'd always say is, I left with my dignity and I left with my daughters intact. And that was all. And, you know, to his last breath, that's what he said. Those were his words. His very last words is that my daughters are happy. You know, that was... And obviously when I grew up, I know that a lot of, you know, some parents, when there was daughters, some of them were not, you know. And when I saw this with my dad and my mum, it was, of course, my mum was a mother, you know, no matter what. She loved us, all of us, just as equally. But... yeah, but they were just amazing parents. Just, and so then after later years, people would, you know, when we go out to events or weddings and things like that, that I learned that my dad had actually helped so many people, so many people. And I think I'm actually pleased that he didn't tell us, because to me... they'll always, both of them will always be on a pedestal for me, but it's the fact that he took something good out of a bad situation, and it was a really, really bad situation, you know. And but yeah, he didn't complain.
Yeah.
He never ever complained. And even my mum, like, she was of course used to being, you know, never having to go without, and all of a sudden to go to being in this country, they had language barriers, my mum again was amazing. Like, you know, in those days we used to have the milkman. Mm. So she'd get us to write out like little notes. Yeah. So we'd on a piece of paper write, "Dear milkman,
yeah.
please don't deliver any milk yeah. today," or "Please deliver 2 extra mm. pints," or "Red top, mm-hmm. cold top." And then she'd actually copy that
yeah.
onto a piece of paper, and then she'd put it. I mean, the way they both adapted yeah. to the life in this country, wow, it was amazing, mm. absolutely amazing. You know, Anushka, for me, I'll repeat this, for me what was so important is that they never complained. Mm. You know, I find myself sometimes now complaining to my kids yeah. about, oh, you know, something is this mm. or something is that. But with neither of them,
yeah.
it was never, mm. you know, they had to go from doing shopping and carrying heavy bags. Mm. And back home, we used to have nanny, we used to have a driver, mm. you know, we had cars mm. and our driveway would hold about, you know, we'd drive, we could have about 20 cars mm. in there. So even for my mum to have gone from that to what she did, mm-hmm. It's really, really sad, yeah. so sad. And yeah, so they both sadly passed mm. away. But you know, they were very, very dignified. Yeah. They made sure that they taught us a lot. You know, we got a lot of strength and everything from mm. my dad mm-hmm. and from my mom. It was, I think it was how to adapt mm-hmm. to life. Mm-hmm. She really did. Even after getting married, mm-hmm. you know, of course, I was 19.
Yeah.
I was so young, yeah. so young. And I was quite westernized. Yeah. So having come to this country yeah. when I was 9, and although my parents were much older mm. because I'm the youngest, mm-hmm. The way of life here mm. compared to Africa mm-hmm. was so different. But my mum adapted, and she in turn taught us that as mm-hmm. well. So, yeah, they're both sadly passed away, and here I am, yeah. You know, so many years later yeah. on. I've got 2 lovely children, mm. 2 gorgeous grandsons, yeah. and yeah, happily married. Mm. Yeah, back home, because I was 9, mm. I've got a lot of happy memories. And then eventually, sorry, I should have also said that my dad also got my grandfather to come to live with us, okay. but sadly I don't remember
yeah.
him.
Yeah.
I've got pictures of him, but mm-hmm. I don't remember mm-hmm. him. And also my uncle, mm-hmm. whom I absolutely adored, yeah. but sadly he had to leave as well.
Okay.
But he went to India
okay.
when the expulsion was
yeah.
announced. He went back to India because that's where his family mm-hmm. was, because he only came here on his mm-hmm. own. Not here, sorry, in yeah. Uganda.
Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, so he had to go. And my grandfather had passed away mm-hmm. by the time the exodus happened.
Okay.
But yeah, so ours was not nice. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a nice time, but in comparison to some mm-hmm. of the others,
mm-hmm.
it perhaps, you know, I feel like we were perhaps lucky. Blessed.
Yeah.
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 We were... lucky, yeah.
Have you been back to Uganda?
No.
That's really common, I hear it as well.
Yeah, and the reason is, which you'll probably,
yeah.
is common, is, like I'm saying, I had a really privileged yeah. childhood. I remember, you know, again, if I could draw really well, I could draw my
mm.
house for you. And I don't want to shatter my yeah. dream of that. And I've got yeah. some really wonderful memories,
yeah.
you know, living there with my parents.
Yeah.
I know initially I said that it was such a lovely, happy environment, and then to go to that, and now that I am, of course, much older, more mature to understand things, I think it'd be too yeah. it would be traumatizing yeah. for me, yeah. and I don't want to shatter that dream.
Yeah. Yeah.
But my children have said that they'd like to go.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I haven't been back for 51 years, am I likely to? I don't. Never say never in life.
Yeah. yeah.